But this morning, we want to look at this idea of overcoming disappointments. I read for you chapter 40, and I just want to read the verse 1, at least the first part of the next chapter in verse 41. The words are, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Overcoming disappointments. You know, there are many stories that we can probably relate to. There's many stories that we've had in our own lives with regards to disappointment. I remember as a child the first time I saw The Wizard of Oz. And if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, you know that there's a story that starts off with a young girl, Dorothy, comes running, huffing and puffing into the area of the farm where she lives with her Uncle Henry and her Auntie Em. She's all out of breath. She's totally flustered. She just doesn't know which way to look. And she's trying to get the attention of those who are working on the farm. Because on the way home from school, her little dog, Toto, had been chasing this woman's cat. And as getting into her yard, ends up biting the woman herself. The woman is coming, and she wants to get Toto. And so here's Dorothy. She's huffing and puffing. She comes in, and she's going out, "You got to help me. What can I do?" And one by one, it seems like she's getting counsel from the different people. "Well, you ought to know better. You ought to stay away from that." And others would say, "Well, if I were you, I'd go up and spit right in her eye." And, you know, and whatever the advice that they were giving to one another. Finally, she's talking to her Auntie Em, and the Auntie Em, the incubator, if you've seen the movie, the incubator for the chicks is broke down, and they're counting and they're trying to save the little chicks. And Auntie Em says to her, "Why don't you find a place where there isn't any trouble?" And Dorothy all of a sudden is off by herself, "A place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place where you get to by boat or train. It's so far, far away, beyond the moon, beyond the rain, and I won't sing the rest." But there's this moment of disappointment. There's this moment of discouragement. There's this moment of despair that's been experienced here. And she's come to a place where hopefully she would receive the comfort and at least the peace. But it seems like everybody at that particular moment are going in different directions and really don't have the time. And it goes on and it gets worse as the dog is taken away. And then the dog comes back, and then they sort of make the beeline, they exit, you know. But it's just one of those times when we can look at it. And you've had those times in your life when you've experienced disappointment. Dee and I were laughing this morning. I'm so thankful. You know, again, I think I said this before, I never thought I'd be thanking. I'm not a person that likes rain. But when I saw it coming down this morning, I said, "Lord, let it rain all day." You know, that's fine. But here's the deal. We were driving to church this morning, and we started laughing because there was an occasion when we were in Waterdown when friends of ours came to visit our home. And when they came to visit our home, sure enough, it was raining. The kids and the wife, they got out, and then the husband, I guess he had to park his car far up the street. He comes running in, out of breath, in our front door, and he's standing there, and he says, "My goodness, it's raining cats and dogs." Well, Paige was a lot younger at that time. What was she, 17? Okay, you know, no, she's about four. And Paige makes her way out to the front door, and she's looking out like this, and she's looking everywhere, and she's going, "Where are the cats and the dogs?" And you know that a young child will take things literally, and she did, and that was an incredible moment of disappointment. Well, everyone knows disappointment sooner or later. Friends break their words. Marriages end in divorce. Our children move away and never call us. Or our children move away and then come home and never leave. No, I'm just kidding. Colleagues betray us. The company lays us off. Doctors can't cure us. Our investments disappear. Our dreams are shattered. The best laid plans go astray. Other Christians disappoint us, and very often we disappoint ourselves. We live in a world of disappointment. And if we don't come to grips with this truth, we are doomed to be unhappier tomorrow than we are today. English author Joseph Addison declared, "Our real blessings often appear to us in the shape of pains, losses, and disappointments." We have all heard the story of Alexander the Great, who wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. Hugo Grotius, the father of modern internationalists, "So I've accomplished nothing worth model in my life." John Quincy Adams, the 6th president of the United States, wrote in his diary, "My life has been spent in vain and idle aspirations." And we could go on and on about different people who would look back, and it seems like when it was all said and done, it just didn't seem that there was much to really take account of. They were disappointed. I love the story of Joe Torre. Joe Torre was a former manager of the New York Yankees, and years ago he was a broadcaster for the California Angels baseball team. During a broadcast one night, he mentioned that a little boy had asked him before the game, "Didn't you used to be somebody?" And he looked, and it's sort of a little disappointing to have that accolade being brought to you by a little one. But we all have experienced disappointment, and I would say to you this morning, if you haven't experienced disappointment, it's not a matter of if, but when. It will come your way. We've been looking at the life of Joseph. In the few minutes this morning, we're looking at the life of Joseph. We can do a bit of a recap, and we can see what's been happening in his life. We can look at the life of Joseph. We can see that he was his father's favorite, which immediately put some distance between him and his brothers. We see that there was a time that he brought a report to his father against something that his brothers had done. He thought it was the right thing to do, but in doing so, it furthered the gap. His father made the mistake of showing favoritism and gave him this ornamented, this multicolored, technicolor, whatever type of robe you can picture. It was special to him alone. And it just made his brothers resent him more. To make a long story short, it wasn't long before his brothers were plotting to get rid of him. At first, some of them wanted to kill him, but at least they settled on this, that they would sell him to a caravan that was coming through. Sold into this caravan that was on its way down to Egypt, he would be purchased by Potiphar, one of the captains of the guards, I believe, from the temple of Pharaoh's temple. He's one of Pharaoh's elite officials, and there he would find favor with Potiphar. Potiphar would entrust everything to him, but Potiphar's wife was very attracted to this young man. And we see that she daily was making advances at him to the point where finally one day he was alone in the palace by himself. And as he was with her, she came on him. He sort of backed away trying to avoid her. The story is that his cloak was left in her hands. The accusations would fly and they were all false, and he would find himself in prison. But even there, we would find out that Joseph would be the one who would again find favor with the prison officials, with the warden, and everything was entrusted to him again. And the main reason why we can look and we see that it seems the favor is found in this man's life is because the Lord was with him. We've read that, and it's repeated. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. So here we have it again, where we read it in verse 39, those words, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The Lord was fulfilling his covenant to Abraham. The Lord will bless you and bless those who bless you. And so we see that here is this occasion when he's in this prison and he's found favor. He doesn't want to stay there. Let's not think that for a moment. He wants to be free, but he continues to find favor, and the Lord's presence is with him. It says sometimes later, there are two officials, the main officials that would be serving the king of Egypt, the cupbearer and the baker. I don't know what they did. They did something wrong, and it ticked off the Pharaoh incredibly. He was angry, and he put them in the custody of the captives. He puts him in the place where Joseph is residing. And again, we see that these two men come down, and they're very sad because they've had an experience where they've had dreams. And dreams throughout the Old Testament seem to always have some sort of spiritual connection, and that's what's said here by Joseph himself when he talks to them about why they seem so sad. They share their dreams with him. And as they share their dreams, the word is given to both of them about what they mean. Joseph in gives the interpretation here. I believe God has given them that gift. And so he gives the interpretation to them. The first one, the cupbearer, is it's a good interpretation. It's the one we'd want to receive. It's one where you look at it and you see that in 3 days, you're going to be back to where you were used to being. That's a good thing. What's Joseph ask? Hey, when you get there, when you get back to your spot, can you speak on my behalf? Now, the second one, the baker, it wasn't that great an interpretation. I'm sure that the baker probably asked him for a second interpretation, or maybe, you know, can we get a different opinion? When you get an interpretation of a dream that says in 3 days you're actually going to die, that's not the news you want to get. So you've got two dreams here that are being interpreted, and they come true. Now, as parents, I'm sure that many of you have had this experience that we've had several times over the years. Even now, and I think this is a standard operations or procedures or just the way families work together. If Don, I'll use you as an example, okay? Don and Wanda, your two fine daughters, travel to Toronto. And you give them the instructions, can you just text me when you get there to let me know that you got there? Now, one of the experiences we've had over the years, whether it's texting or even the phone call, and it happened all the time when we were watered down, was that best friends of ours lived at maybe about 30 houses up the street. And all we wanted to do, the kids to do when they got there was, when you get there, just phone and say, I'm here. That seems to be a pretty easy request. Would you not agree? Okay. How many times do you think they called? How many times do you think we end up calling to see if they got there? That seemed to be more the norm. And some of you are shaking your heads going, yes, been there, done that, been there, still doing it. And I get that picture that Joseph has said to them, I've interpreted your dreams. Joseph is content still being in the presence of his God, but here these two men make their way up into Pharaoh's presence, and one is well received and the other one is sentenced to die. But the one that found favor with the Pharaoh, you would think that he would be the one that would say, yes, I remember. There was this guy in the prison where I was staying. It was in our cell block. That I want to speak on his behalf. And that's why when we look at it this morning, we see in verse 23 that the chief cupbearer, whoever did not remember Joseph, he forgot him. And then we read those words in the first verse of the next chapter. When two full years had passed by, Pharaoh had a dream. So for 2 years, Joseph has been forgotten. His request, speak on behalf, is gone. Now, I want to stop for a moment here, and I want to say this in somewhat of a sensitive form. We have been praying for people that have been imprisoned, and we need to keep praying. Some of you might be wondering why we have not spoken about this in more detail. At the request of the family, it is such an issue of security, we cannot mention their names. But you know them, and I ask that you continue to pray for them. I ask that you pray for Claude and Monica and the extended family. This is an incredible weight this morning. I look at the scriptures, and not for a moment do I believe that God has forgotten them. I don't. But you can imagine the burden that is being carried here. Folks, it's a burden that we need to carry with them. We need to lift them up. We need to encourage them, pray for them, drop them a card, whatever. But it's one of those ones that I just leave with you this morning. We have not forgotten them. Let's remember them. Joseph seems to be all but forgotten. And so we have this occasion when what would be some of the things that he could likely be feeling here? Well, I think the average person would probably be feeling discouragement. I think there certainly would be disappointment. All he wanted them to do was speak on his behalf. Give him the chance. Give him that little crack, that little ray of light, that ray of hope that he might hear his case, that he might be able to speak, and he might be able to be set free. And it doesn't happen. But we look at the life of Joseph, and we're going to see next, in a couple of weeks, we're going to see how God continues to show himself through this young man. But at this particular moment, we come back to us, our lives, and we understand that there are many times that we face disappointment. Disappointment is a tricky emotion. It's not wrong to remember the past, and it's certainly not wrong to grieve over what you've lost, but eventually there comes a time when we must move on. And that can be very difficult. But this morning, I would want us to have the starting point that the hope that Joseph had was in the one who was with him through the whole time. And that was his Lord. And so I'm not sure what you're going through today. I'm not sure what you've gone through. And some of you have shared things that have happened in your past. But I believe that there's a hope that can lift us up and take us out of the past and move us on. And that comes by drawing near to our Lord. Sometimes we need to yield to our memories. And I'm one who, you know, by nature is very nostalgic, and it's easy to think of the days gone by and the good old days and those sort of things. But when you have hope in Jesus Christ, the good days are yet to come. And so this morning, I hope that we would start again by understanding the importance of being in the presence of God. That's where our hope is, to draw near to him. As I said, disappointment can be a very tricky emotion. I remember hearing a story of a young pastor who pastored a small church down in Boone, North Carolina. Within 4 weeks of starting at the small church, he had conducted 5 funeral services for some of the oldest members of the church. The experience of dealing with so much death in such a brief period of time caused this young man to a great deal of emotional stress. Following a Sunday morning service, one of the surviving members, walked up to him, sort of hugged him by the neck on the way out of church, and said, "Pastor, if God doesn't call you out of here soon, your preaching's going to kill every one of us." He said, "I collapsed in laughter. It was exactly what I needed." And we can't laugh away all of our disappointment, but I think we need to understand this morning that there is someone that is greater than the disappointment that you might be in right now, or you might have experienced, or you might yet experience. And it seems like it's just a very simple phrase, but if we look at it, we cannot get by that the Lord was with Joseph. And the scriptures make it clear for us to search after the God, to draw near, and I will draw near to you. And so this morning, when we look at this disappointment, we need to ask yourself, how do you deal with disappointments? Many people have made quotes about their expectations and their experience in life. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Marilyn Monroe said, "Dreaming about being an actress is more exciting than being one." The expectation and the hope that would be found in being something seems to be lost when that is attained. And I remember the testimony of a Wall Street executive many years ago who said, "I only had one wish, that they had told me when you reach the top, there's nothing there." And disappointment comes in many shapes and forms. But what we place our hope in is of great importance. We look at the disciples. They're a great example of disappointment. I'm not talking about the times that they disappointed Jesus, but the state of disappointment that we find them in when Jesus is being crucified, when they have denied Jesus. They have deserted him, and they are living in fear as they are facing this great disappointment. How could everything so good have gone so wrong? What brought them hope? What brought them hope? The presence of their resurrected Savior. when Jesus was resurrected and he came, he showed himself to them. There was a restoration. There was an incredible great work of grace that was shown there. As not just Peter, but all the disciples were restored into the relationship with Jesus Christ. I look at it this morning, and again, do we see this? That the bottom line of our hope to overcome disappointment is found in the presence of God. There's a number of things that we can do to see some sort of breakthrough come. That we can do when breakthrough doesn't come. For 2 years, we see that Joseph continues to toil in this prison. Probably continues to go out doing the responsibilities that he'd been blessed with. When breakthrough doesn't come through, continue to wait on God. The psalmist says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so, as difficult as it is, the starting point is to wait. And then we hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 48:10, be still and know that I am God. You can't be still when you're moving. I mean, it sounds obvious. You can call me Captain Obvious if you want, but I mean, you know, but this be still and know that I am God. To wait on the Lord. How many of you like waiting? You like waiting? No, okay, how many of you, okay, let me be clear on that. It just doesn't seem to come naturally. It doesn't. We want to do something. And I'm sure Joseph was probably thinking, is there other ways that we don't see it in the biblical narrative? But if I was Joseph, I'd be trying to think of, is there other ways that I can get out of here? Is there other things that I can do? But we see that God has a plan. But the starting point when God has a plan is to wait on God to reveal his plan. And so we wait on the Lord. When your breakthrough doesn't come through, continue to walk with God. To take encouragement from 1 John 1:17 that says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. To walk in the light as he is in the light is again to be in fellowship, first of all, with Jesus Christ. To be in fellowship with our God. There's this idea of waiting. There's this idea of walking with God. And I said already, in Joseph's particular case, he would continue for 2 years to do what he had been asked to do and taking care of the affairs of that particular part of the prison that he was in. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It was something that Joseph had continually done. And those who were officials in the administration of the palace, the guards, the prison, wherever it was, saw that the Lord was with him. To wait on God, to walk with God, to work with God, work for God, to continue to be that witness. And to worship through that time. These are some of the things that we can continue to do as we are going through this time of disappointment when we're looking for the hope to be realized. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, but there are times that we're hoping that our Lord will see us through or break through that particular thing that we're going through. And so here we have this idea. So this morning, a little quick quiz here. The bottom line is the thing that is most essential for experiencing and overcoming disappointment is to be in the presence of God, of our Lord, to draw near to him. One of my favorite movies is Field of Dreams. I love baseball movies, and I particularly like this one. And I'm not going to give you the whole story this morning, but there's a bit of a dialogue that's taking place by a couple of characters. One of the characters is Dr. Archibald Moonlight Graham. And he's in conversation with Ray Kinsella, who's the key figure of the movie. In the movie, there's this dialogue going back and forth, and Moonlight Graham says, we just don't recognize life's most significant moments while they're happening. He talked about when he's playing baseball. He says, back then I thought, well, there'll be other days. And I didn't realize that that was the only day. You see, in his baseball career, he had made his way up through the minors, and he had got into the major leagues, and he had played one game and never got a chance to bat. So the conversation's going on, and he says to Ray Kinsella, "Well, you know, I never got to bat in the major leagues. I would have liked to have had that chance just once to stare down a big league pitcher, to stare him down, and just as he goes in the windup, to wink. Make him think you know something he doesn't. That's what I wish for. The chance to squint at a sky so blue it hurts your eyes just to look at it. To feel a tingling in your arm as you connect with the ball. To run the bases, stretch a double into a triple, and flop face first into third, wrap your arms around the bag. That's my wish, Ray Kinsella. That's my wish. And is there enough magic out there in that moonlight to make this dream come true?" Ray Kinsella says to him in his conversation, 50 years ago, for 5 minutes, you came within this close. It would kill some men to get so close to their dream and not touch it. God, they consider it a tragedy. Dr. Moonlight Graham said, "Son, if I'd only got to be a doctor for 5 minutes, that would have been a tragedy." As a young boy, you see this picture, and you can picture him making his way to the pros, and for one game he's there, and he doesn't get the chance to bat, and he decides his career is over then. But his life is not one with disappointment, because he is taken to a place where that seems to be his calling in life. What was disappointing there as time went on was a thing of the past. It was a memory that was in the back of his mind. Disappointment, it's not a matter of if it comes your way, but when it comes your way, what will you do? Charles Swindoll says this: "We have two choices. We can become disillusioned and embittered, or we can use that difficulty as a platform for putting our hope and trust in the living God. Disillusionment is dangerous. It's a slippery slope. First, we become disillusioned about our fellow man. We move on to cynicism. Before long, we trust no one, not even God. We've been burned. We've been taken advantage of. We've been mistreated. We've all met many individuals who have become truly disillusioned with mankind. And many of them have also become disillusioned with God. The two go together. Cynicism is spawned in such a context. The cause of disillusionment is putting one's complete hope and trust in people. What's secure? Putting our complete hope and trust in the living Lord. When we do that, the simplest messages from God calm our spirits." Joseph, let's go back for a moment. He was faithful to serving his God in the prison. He interprets these two dreams. He asks the one favor: remember me. Don't forget me. Mention me. Talk to me when you're in Pharaoh's presence. Speak on my behalf. We see from the biblical narrative that 2 years have passed by, he was a forgotten man. It could have been very easy for him to enter into the dangerous, slippery slope of disillusionment that would say, "Not only has man let me down, but so has God." But that was not the case. Putting our complete hope and trust in the living Lord, that was the key to Joseph's life. He knew the presence of God, and his faith would never, ever leave that position. Christian Regeer is a man who did exactly that. Christian Regeer spent 4 years in the infamous Dachau, imprisoned by the Nazis from 1941 to 1945. His crime: he was a member of the Confessing Church, one of the German state churches that took a stand against the Nazis in the 30s and 40s. Martin Niemöller and Dietrich Bonhoeffer both ministered in that church. As a whole, it was a church that stood for the truth. But Christian Regeer was turned over to the Nazis by the organist of his local church. He was shipped hundreds of miles away for the next 4 years in the concentration camp of Dachau outside of Munich. Some of you have read Phil Yancey's book, Where is God When It Hurts? And Phil Yancey tells of this remarkable story in that book. He says that Christian Regeer would tell the horror stories if you ask, but he will never stop there. He goes on to share his faith, how at Dachau he was visited by a God who loves. Nietzsche said a man can undergo torture if he knows the why of his life. Regier said, but I here at Dachau learned something far greater. I learned to know the who of my life. It was enough to sustain me, and is enough to sustain me still. My brothers and sisters, this morning we can all agree that in life there are many disappointments. But how will we respond to the disappointment? My prayer is that we will draw near to God, that we will desire to be in his presence. That doesn't mean there won't be times of questioning. That doesn't mean there'll be times of difficulty. That doesn't mean the times when we seem to be lacking peace. But I encourage each of us, whatever the storm of life is that is in your life, whatever the storm of life that has hit and left its mark on your life, draw near to the presence of God. We're going to sing, Christ is Enough, and then we'll sing the other song that the team has prepared. But that's the message this morning. Christ is enough. Overcoming dependence, the step is into the presence of God. And listen to his counsel.